I got some things done this weekend.
This show is not for the easily offended, so if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
It should be obvious. No one knows where this show is going to end up. But we hope everyone's doing well. I'm joined by myself, Andrew the LA Rabbit. We've got North of the Border, WX Kev. Say hi, Kev.
Wait, is this being recorded?
Yeah, I'm recording it.
I thought we had pod faded.
North of the Border, we also have the Ottawa Phil. Say hi, Phil.
Nope.
All right, so as noted, you may have heard we have commandeered marvelnoise.com.
We took
so
over?
We're in the process of trying to fix that.
We're going to get them to publish, what's that? What was that book in the 50s? You know, Martin Goodman had some men's magazines.
Oh, well, I like that they used to call them sweat magazines.
I never heard that term.
Yeah. They're not, because they don't, usually I think those ones, they might have like girls in bikini or like drawings, but they're not, you know, adult magazines, but they're like men's adventure magazine type stuff.
I mean, you know, what I associate with sweat and people sweating before was this Steve Ditko sweats. So yes. I don't want to think about that.
Well, as noted, we don't know. This may show up on the old site. We may take over Indie. It may end up on Marvel. Who knows? We're in the process, but we wanted to record and let people know we're still alive, sort of. Maybe.
That's convincing.
And we're, you know, we're the Indie Comic Book Noise guys, so we're also the Marvel Noise guys.
Except
and
Phil.
And it's just been Phil's on. I loaded up a bunch of episodes that had Phil on it, so.
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't think any with my name on it, we would make it.
Oh, yeah, you were in some of the early Thunderbolts episodes.
You were in a bunch of other ones, too, Phil. So I'm out there looking for you. But, well, anyways, look. People, you're here, we're here, and we're just here to talk about whatever we like. Things will be a little bit crazy until we get everything ironed out. So we appreciate your patience with us while we do this. And if you do notice something or see something, or can always reach out to us on social media. Kevin, I believe we have a Blue Sky handle.
Oh, I thought we were on Mastodon.
Just give people a Blue Sky handle.
That's still around also?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's the handle is Marvel ICBN Noise.
Yes. And then I believe we have a Facebook page, but I'm not on Facebook. Does anyone ever check the Facebook anymore?
Yeah, we get messages there.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So anyways, Indie Comic Book Noise. Here we are. It's 2026. Yeah, I'm dating the show. I don't care. Either this comes out or it never comes out. So. And I just watched the second season of Generation V last night, which is the Boys spinoff.
Okay. I saw the first season. I don't think I saw the second one.
Well, there's not going to be a third season.
No.
But they left it in a decent spot. It's our plucky gang of superhero anti-heroes. And there's a superhero university, Godalkin U. And they're sort of fighting against, like, you know, there's the Homelanders and the Starlighters, and our heroes are the Starlighters aligned, and they solve their mystery that involves this season and then end up on the run. And spoiler, they're going to join the Starlighter side of the battle because that's
spoiler,
how they're aligned from the
spoiler
get-go.
Though, I think they scratched all that, though. I think
they're
like
not continuing season 3, so
No, no, but I mean, like they did, I don't even think they joined the boys, really. I think just, like, one of the characters did.
Yeah, I can see that. They had a few cameos the other way. Like, the Deep character and Sage and a few other ones. And some video of the Firecracker, her TV show, her opinion show, that type of thing. But very limited. It is pretty standalone-y. I enjoyed both seasons well enough. My wife really liked the second season. It's there's some fun ideas. What's always interesting is how the powers that they come up with and how they use them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always the thing with these ones.
And they're a little more destructive in this universe, like to the person using them even, you know.
Yeah, sometimes. And it's pretty gross and funny. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of silly humor, and the powers can be quite preposterous in a way. Like I said, that's what makes it fun, a bunch of crazy stuff you're not going to see at Marvel or DC.
Did you ever read the Boys comic originally?
I tried some of it, but it felt like that already had been done by martial law in a way. The sort of take of superheroes are bastards.
Just what a martial law diehard fan would say.
Yeah. So, and I like Derek Robertson, but I love Kevin O'Neill. So, and I prefer Pat Mills to Garth Ennis. So it kind of was like, yeah, I've been there, done that, but good on you, you know?
I loved it when it was coming out, but I reread it, I guess, when the TV show first started, and I hated it. My second read.
Yeah, I never read more than a handful of issues, and I was just like, yeah.
It's very boring, like halfway through for me kind of thing.
Well, it's no Crossed, Phil.
Hey, I want to forget that part of me.
Yeah, so
I did reread Cross this year. I shouldn't admit that, but I did. Like, quite a bit.
So I bailed on Free Comic Book Day, but I did pay for the Energon Universe reprint. So.
Yeah, it sounds like you.
Well, I was not around. And also, Free Comic Book Day is great and all, but I don't know. If you go somewhere with good sales. It. But the crowds, and I don't really want to wait 45 minutes in line for that, you know. And I feel like if I go, I should buy something at the store, you know, to support, because the books aren't free to them.
Yeah.
And then you end up in those long lines, and I don't know. Better off going the next week.
A lot of those comics you get are just crap anyway. The only time it ever worked in my favor was the first issue of Six Gun. Otherwise, like, everything else is just, you know, it's like you can just throw it away pretty much.
There was a hardcover that came out on Free Comic Book Day. Free hardcover? Oh, that's crazy.
I've had a few hardcover. The Mice one was a hardcover years ago.
Mouse Guard.
Yeah, that was a good one. But I also am like, I don't know, the allure of it's that you can have it because it's free. Like, if I want a comic, I'll buy it. Like, I have enough comics that I don't need to mindlessly hoard ones that I don't.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew on his mountain of comics and CGCs and everything. If I just want a comic, I'll just go out there and buy one.
That's what. Well, I'm gonna, because I know for 99% of it, I'm just gonna give it away in a few years. It'll be in a big stack I drop off at the library, and I'm like, well, should let people that really. That's going to be the comic that opens the door for them. And they should have it, you know? Not some old head like me. What good's it doing giving me free? I'm already addicted. You know what I mean? There's no... You don't give out free meth samples to the guy that's already scratching his arms waiting for the next fix, you know? But, Kevin, so you must have done Free Comic Book Day from your derisive dismissal of my take.
No, are you kidding me?
We're too old now to do that.
First, you assume that there would be enough people that there would be a 45-minute lineup, which is wild to me. Like, even when,
oh my god, you don't go to the big store that has a giant sale and everybody's in line buying all this crap because it's cheap.
You know, even when that worked out, and I wasn't in town. It wasn't anything close to that.
Oh, really? The Ottawa ones, people went around the blocks.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Wow. When I was going, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, this one, Bob, that I've talked about, he has a really good one that has a great sale and just a ton of books. And it's kind of fun, but like I said, then you're waiting in this long line to buy $20 worth of comics, and you're like, ugh. I don't want to wait 45 minutes for this. But like I said, I don't want to just show up and take a bunch of free books and screw off. That doesn't seem very fair.
You want to pay for a fast pass for a free comic book day.
Or just not do it.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, at that one, I do have the comic bug variant cover of the first Spider-Gwen. Because I got that at a free comic book day. So there are books. Yeah, yeah, it's like her swinging through the city.
Huh.
So, yeah, I mean, like you say, there's good books and everything. I just, running the gauntlet at my age is not what I want to do anymore. The
press has multiple good free comic book day ones.
Oh, I'm not saying they're not.
No, that was Phil. Phil was saying they're mostly garbage.
Yeah.
And I also feel like they'll reprint. Maybe it's just because I'm thinking Image, because they reprint that one, and Marvel and DC and everything. Also, Marvel gives them out for free on the digital things.
So. Yeah, like it's kind of useless for people. And us, you know, if we want it, like, if it's a number one to introduce you to the series, I don't want a comic that says free comic book day on it.
Well, you don't want the, you know, first appearance.
I'd rather wait for the trade or the official one, you know? Like Six Gun, that really bugged me at first, how the first issue said that. I forget, but they re-released the first issue.
Well, that's what I mean. Those ones, they always did another one. And Energon's continuing in that tradition of, hey, you didn't want that? Here's one you can pay for.
Yeah. And I mean, I would have picked it up if I'd been somewhere, but I'm not going to go out of my way to pick it up.
I liked how, like, DC's would set up their next event, but like Kevin says, they're on the app now, so who cares?
I don't know. Usually DC was more into reprinting stuff.
No, no. They would always do, like, the next crisis, like an issue zero next or something.
Crisis.
You know?
Well, yeah. That's really getting me on board.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love my crises.
Crises, Phil, I think is
sorry, plural. Crises.
All right, so I mean, I got a book, but I feel like I've been jibber-jabbering away like a crazy person.
It better
person.
Be Goddamn Horse Femme.
Oh,
I feel like I've been waiting a year now.
You have. I have a big stack of them now. I've been
Well, I thought we pod-faded because so much comic news came out during when we were away. Like I had
but we
to
can't
get your
cover
hot
takes that by the time.
On all these breaking stories, and then we weren't there.
Like what?
All those stories. This is going to be so old.
This is like 2 months
out,
old
Phil.
News.
Hey, old is new to me. Okay.
Okay. CBCS shutting down. They weren't accepting any new submissions. I was like, what? I need to get Andrew's take on this, and then nothing.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I have a bunch. I've graded with them when I did that grading with both companies and stuff. And I mean, I'm sad to see people lose their job, but I think they folded because they got bought out by Beckett or something,
that,
right?
That is so wild. The only one worse than that is getting taken over, rejecting the bid, then getting taken over by another company, the one you want, and them shutting you down. And then you being in court for like a next year or two. Like, that's the only one that's wilder than that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it kind of stinks. But I'm also, you know, grading's fun and all, and I have a bunch, but if it went away tomorrow, I wouldn't shed any tears or anything. It was a fun gig while it lasted. I mean, it's not going to go away. There's too much money to be had, but I'm not super invested in the continuation of, if it's around, I'll probably buy great books in the future, maybe, but I don't know. It was fun gig for a while, but I just don't get as much out of it, I guess. The not being able to read the books. I like while we
have a new segment. Before it used to be we talk about old news. Now it's we talk about really old news.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
And the other one was distillery came back. Did you know that?
I didn't know they went away.
Well, people are just like, oh, yeah, I saw that coming, et cetera, et cetera. And then they came back faster than we would have figured. We're like, wow, they're back already?
Yeah, I mean, wasn't their whole model limited series anyways? Did they have a lot on, like, long-term ongoings?
I don't think they have any ongoings, but I'm still waiting for that third issue of White Boat.
Yeah, but that's fine.
I guess so. That
stuff's never coming out. Like, you know that, Kevin. Come on. Holy crap, what are you, 12 years old? Phil, tell them it's never coming out.
Wow. Wow.
It's coming out. Don't worry. It's coming.
Oh, Phil, now you're just setting them up for disappointment.
You know why? You know why I believe that? Because why? I saw an advertisement for Afterlife for Archie.
Where?
Finally collecting those last few issues.
Yeah, I'm sure, Phil. Oh, I would bet your life that that comes out soon, Phil.
This is happening. I'm telling you. Pre-order. Sure. It collects the 10 issues. The first 10 issues, because they never collected it all. Like in trade.
Did they even get the 10 issues?
Yeah. You didn't read it all? Like, I have them on tablet
I'm
right
pretty
now.
Sure I missed an issue somewhere there.
Yeah, so that's, even though they're not finished or anything, that's great news that now people can get their hands on the harder to get issues, right?
Yeah, it is good to have it out there. And it's already, if it's no, although I thought there was new stuff in it, Phil. I didn't realize it was just a collection.
You could get it digital, but still though, that's a sign of hope, isn't it? Because what if the trade like blew up and everyone got it and then they're like, oh, we got to do this again.
I thought they said they were going to finish that. Yeah, a year ago or something.
Yeah.
What? See, yeah, now you're giving me even more hope.
They were going to finish it. Was that like a year or two ago?
So yeah, there you go. Maybe that's why this trade's coming out then, because they're going to be releasing that, so they're giving people a way to catch up. It's happening.
They would just save it for the issues to come out.
I'm telling you, you wait.
Where's my treasury hardcover big numbers?
Well, I hope for your sake, Phil, it comes out and they keep it, make it an ongoing.
I'm going to look at the pre-order right now while you guys.
By the time that comes out, maybe I'll be able to watch that Powers animated series from Netflix.
Well, I have the Powers one from PlayStation. On
yeah, DC. I was going to say, that one came out. That already came out, Kevin. That came out like.
Yeah, I have two
seasons.
That was
before Netflix, I think, and all that. That was the PlayStation TV network.
Yeah, that was like they had that in like a game show, I think. And then it failed horribly.
Oh boy.
Here we go. Afterlife with Archie Deluxe Edition. It's $46.99 Canadian, and it comes out October 27th this year.
Whoa. Well, see? That's pretty good. Wait, it's again to peek behind the curtain. It's May, so shouldn't the pre-orders be like August or September or something, Phil?
Because no, for trades they have it booked way in advance all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a pre-order guy, as you guys know.
Are you sure it's not stuck on a boat somewhere?
No, man. Dude, it's by Oni Press.
That sounds legit.
That's interesting.
Oni's doing Archie books. Well, why
I
not?
I guess so. Because, yeah, it's by Oni Press, it says here. Is the publisher.
Yeah, I think that was the other news. I don't know if we covered that before or after. It doesn't make sense to me anymore.
Oh, and they're doing a deluxe Sabrina one. I'm definitely getting that.
Another unfinished story? Or did that
No,
one
no.
Finish?
I think I'm pretty sure it finished, but I don't know if I read the ending.
It's not a good sign.
Well, like you say, Phil, if enough people buy it, maybe they'll start that new series and have it wrapped up by 2050, 2060.
Well, either way, you know, at least like those first 10 issues are a lot of fun.
Yeah,
the Sabrina and it'll stuff, be a nice I format. Loved. Like the artwork in Sabrina is amazing.
And Oni's a real company. It's not, you know, Ninja Printing or whatever out of the
So they're taking over Archie. That's interesting.
Yeah.
No, I bet you it's just a licensing thing to do the hardcovers, because I don't know that I've ever seen an Archie hardcover.
Because Oni's doing a lot, like, really, like, I feel like they have a lot coming out these days, and I feel like they would be able to handle Archie pretty good.
Oh, easily, but I just, like, I've always seen those digests as a kid, but I wonder if they just don't, they farmed it out because they don't have the, that's not what they do. They do a few floppies and mostly those different digests. Like, that's Archie's bread and butter, baby.
Either way, the point of this is I was right.
Wow. Yeah, sure. Sure, Phil.
We'll check back in October.
Yeah. There's hope.
October of
It'll be. I'll send you a picture of it in my hands.
Well, you're going to cover it for the Halloween episode?
Well, I'm going to buy it for sure. I don't know if I'll cover it because it's just going to bring up bad memories of it not ending.
He's buying something that will bring up bad memories.
Hey, I can't talk, Phil.
But I love them, though. Like, they're good issues. And I hate Archie, but I love that book.
I bought a bunch of the Energon Universe hardcovers, the first volumes, and I'm still buying the floppies. So
like, I was going to jump into Transformers this week. I don't know about G.I. Joe, if I would like that one as much, but I was thinking of trying the Transformers.
Well, I decided the hardcovers have a little extra material and they're oversized. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, why don't we try that? But I just can't give up the floppies. I'm just too worried something will happen.
Yeah.
This big, massive franchise that the Juggernaut might not be able to continue its stories.
Hey, everyone loved that fucking Afterlife with Archie stuff, right, Phil?
Mm-hmm.
And did that keep firing on?
I think no. They were well into making a successful TV series at that point.
Their horror line, that's the problem. That stupid idiot went to go make that stupid show that you were reading the comics of, Andrew, and I'll never forgive you for that.
Well, I think I read a comic or two and then dropped
it. Well, it bugged me. I didn't say anything, but it really bugged me.
Well, if it makes you feel better, they were terrible.
Good. I'm very glad.
You know how old this news is? Mike Richardson was out at Dark Horse Comics. Old news.
I don't know who that is.
The guy that created Dark Horse Comics.
Yeah, the guy behind it.
Okay. Like, he was fired?
Yeah, sort of. Fired from his own company.
I don't think you get fired. I think you get bought out.
Yeah, sort of.
Or he did something really awful.
Well, selling the company, I guess, is, you know, the thing you
don't do. I don't think he's right now applying for a job at Tim Hortons or whatever. Like, I think he got some compensation.
Yeah, stocks, probably, right?
Yeah, I didn't really dive into it. I like Dark Horse well enough, but I was never.
Is Dark Horse doing well these days?
I feel like a few people, Kevin's boy can't jump ship, and I think a few other people have. But they've still got Hellboy, even though he died 40 years ago or something. That stuff still comes out.
But that was the weird thing. It seemed like Kins was going to be publishing all his stuff at Oni Press, and now he's publishing Flux House elsewhere as well. So I got really confused.
Yeah, so I think that part of it is we don't know the margins.
Yeah.
Like, they lost all those license books, but maybe those books are terrible. You know what I mean? There's a chance that the margins are bad on and having Aliens and Star Wars and Conan doesn't pay
They
much,
did it
you
best.
Know what I mean?
Well, I those know. Books, I you find know, they did them best.
We found out they made a ton of money off of the manga and the art books, like the Zelda.
Yeah, they do
stuff.
A lot of that still. Yeah.
So, I mean, they still have Berserk and all that. So,
and they seem to do a lot of, like, art books and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are good because, you know, without a peek behind the curtain, you don't know. I mean, maybe it's a flop or maybe it's not. I don't know. But they did lose all them licenses. And they used to do a bunch of video game books, too. I think they still might have.
They still do.
Yeah.
The He-Man license, too.
Yeah, they have a lot of He-Man stuff out.
And then everyone had to go through that weird phase of not having a previous catalog thing, but you know.
And then there is a He-Man movie about to be released.
That is so.
So weird. maybe that'll help. Be
so pissed if Orko's not in it. I don't think he is.
Because I don't really know at this point if movies help promote comics anymore. Or what, but
people try to pretend they don't, but they do.
Because when I was a kid, man, that Star Wars comic, oof, I had it in oversize, I had floppies, they had all, they sold like a billion copies of that effing thing. That's how the only way we could get Star Wars. But now, I'm sure once the movie comes out in 6 months, it'll be on streaming services, which is where I'll be watching. Although they have a really fun billboard, I gotta say, with Skeletor's head and his eyes light up, so at night when you drive by, it's two red eyes behind the hood. That part's pretty cool, but not enough for me to go to the theater. I'll watch it when it hits the streaming services.
Yeah, I'll wait for streaming too. And I was a big He-Man fan. The last live-action He-Man movie, I loved to death. I watch that thing all the time.
Although I'm still waiting, Phil, to get a cheap deal on Bloodshot. I still check every few months.
No.
I'm not paying $5 for this. Come back when it's cheaper.
Yeah. No, it's got to be free or nothing.
Yeah.
Do not pay
a monthly. If it was $1 or $2, I would go $2.
It was free.
Oh, I have some news.
No.
They're Valiant, whatever's left of them. They put out an AI image. Classless.
Oh, I heard.
Very classy of them, eh? And it said something like about being
it's
ready
not
for what's coming.
Is what it said.
Yeah, you saw that piece of shit? So what does that mean, Kevin?
You're I don't a know, guy. But I've noticed it's been going around. I was just like, oh no.
What we need to do, Phil, is we'll set up and say, we'll offer someone to we'll say we have the rights to the original art for that, and you can buy it from
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
Oh.
But what do you think they're doing next, then? Do you think it's going to be like a dumb video game, or...
Oh,
they've tried board game before, it didn't work.
I don't know. Maybe it's an MMO. I really don't know.
Yeah, something like that, maybe. But either way, I think Valiant's done. Can you admit it now?
It's not done. I mean, we wanted it to be done a long time ago. It's not done.
Well, Phil, if they're just going to do AI comic books, then they can keep doing those forever.
I think they're close to that.
Yeah. I mean, they only need to sell like 2 issues to make their money back paying their creative team.
I mean, maybe with all his bad idea money, he can buy Valiant Comics back.
It is so fun. Like, that thing just isn't... I guess they're holding on to it, hoping it boomerangs around, but without movies or anything, I don't know what.
No.
If you're not invested in the comics, which I think we can say they're not super invested in those, if you're really holding on to it as some kind of IP with value, I don't know what you'd... I mean, I guess a video game, but those seem really boom or bust, especially an MMO thing. Like, those, for everyone that launches, like, I feel... Most of them, they don't really fail, but they don't really take off in the way I think they want them to. I mean, you need to be the next Fortnite or whatever, and I just don't see them doing that.
And I don't think even if they made movies, I don't think any other movies would ever do good.
They can't.
Like, I don't think.
There's no reason they can't.
Like, it's which movie would do good out of their properties, though? Like, I can't see any of them.
Like, it depends what kind of movie you get. Like, you could just randomly get a hit. Like, you could be a Venom or whatever. You never know.
I feel like they're gonna make them like Sony makes Spider-Man movies, you know? Like, not Spider-Man, but, you know, the villain movies. Like, it's always going to be that type of quality, you know, I think.
That's a pretty evil thing to say to someone.
Well, wait till you see Bloodshot for your stupid $5 you're going to spend.
Sony will not stop making those movies, no matter how bad they are. They just keep on going.
And that's going to be Valiant quality. Like,
if I were them,
Madam Web,
I would do those cheap, that company that did like the G.I. Joe and the TMNT. Oh, I played the Turtles one. It was kind of fun. Those cheap side scrollers to get your IP out there. They don't cost a lot to make compared to like an M. You know what I mean? They're it's not like they're free, but they're way less money than doing some kind of.
Are you telling me you never played Exo Manowar Iron Man? Because Valiant tried.
I was out of video games at that point, but but did you ever play? When Valiant came back, did you ever play the mobile game?
Yes.
It wasn't very good.
I believe I did. No.
Yeah, I just think a few of them featuring the characters would be... Because it's not much money. And it gets the characters out and it gets it going. And then if they can do well enough, maybe you do a nicer game. And then, you know, in a, but you could do a... All the characters could get their own, you know. You'd have a Rye one and a Bloodshot. Well, like all the and those things, especially once you have the, and then they could appear in each other's games. And I don't know. I just feel like those kind of cheap games, they can get some traction, and you can spend the money on the marketing instead of on. I mean, I don't know how much those like Marvel Rivals must have cost a fortune to put out, and I can't even play that thing. I'm too old, so.
I think Valiant should turn to anime and mangas.
Hey,
I guess they could, but I don't know what. You think Japan's hot for that stuff?
I feel like Japan would like those characters if they were done in the manga way or anime way.
It would be really weird, though. It would be like that one where what was it, like Dr. Octopus is in school or something?
Or Superman's just going around trying different food.
Yeah, it would just be something completely bizarre.
Oh, hey, that they started as like the world outside your window or whatever. So to make it more focused on down home stuff isn't the worst idea.
It feels like they abandoned the world outside your window because I feel like they could thinking, have been doing I was all thinking, this stuff right now.
I was thinking more like take Exo Manowar, but make it like Dragon Ball Z.
Okay. The other thing I would do is call up any of the big franchises, either video game or movies, and basically just about give away the characters just to get them out there. A Fortnite skin, or have them show up in Justice League in the background or something. Any, just to get people who... I don't care if you don't make any money. It's just to get people to be like, who is that? What's that character?
You know get what new they people. Need? They need Rob Liefeld to do it.
Oh.
Why? I'm not being serious, people. I'm not being serious. Brian thinks I meant that.
I always think about what if Netflix would have gotten Valiant instead of...
Maybe that would have worked, you know, if they had their chance at it, but... I think it would just be, like I say, more of that Sony quality villain shit, you know?
Well, I also think back if they got it back in the day, I don't think they were putting the money in the budgets. Like, that was why like Luke Cage and stuff worked, is they didn't have to spend a fortune on, you know, blue lasers and Avengers and all that stuff. Well, I think that was one of the... Jack? Yeah, I guess, but I mean, you want, for the big ones, if you want a big superhero... explosions and all that stuff.
And
I
these
mean, now
days,
Netflix has the money.
You know they want to make a universe. So.
I just think if you get people out, get it out there in different forms, let people discover it, maybe they'll be like, oh, that's good. And then you have all the trades and digital and everything and let people, even if you don't make a ton of money, just get people aware of what Valiant is. Maybe get some younger people involved, that type of thing. Maybe you can do something with it then, because I don't know. It was super hot for that window of, you know, that time in the 90s when it was hot. But I don't even know. And the reboot did well. But if you want movie money and video game money, you need to go big. I don't think just, it was a popular comic type of thing. You need it to be like it was in the 90s, like everyone's around it.
Man,
who's got a comic book? We need to have some comic book talk on
this
show.
This is a news special.
We've just been talking about comics the whole time.
No, we haven't. I mean, yeah, garbage. Have. Valiant. Wow. That's not comics. That's Valiant IP. Special.
It's true these days.
Yeah. I'm going to start talking about Jack Kirby or something.
Yeah, that's good. He's good.
He's done some indie, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, I've got
the original indie.
All right, I got a question for you guys. Now, if I have a book of the year, but it came out the year before, does that count? What is it, the book of the year when you read it, or does it have to be the book of the year when it came out?
So you're saying because something released indie, in 1952 is going to be the book of the year of 2026. You can't do that.
You could
this came out in 2025, but I didn't read it till.
Well, you could go. Year. It's the book of your year.
Yeah, it's new to you.
Yeah, because so if you guys were, I actually bought it in 2025 is the sad part, I believe. I can't really remember. You guys remember I went to the indie comic arts nonsense here in L.A.? I bought a bunch of comics. Well, one of those comics I really liked, and it might be my comic book of the year, but I didn't read it till 2026 and it came out in 2025. So any guesses?
It's retroactively your book of 2025.
It might be. I mean, I haven't finished reading all my comics this year, but
is this a one and done, or is there more for you to get?
It's a no. This is a it's a graphic novel.
Okay.
Not a collected edition, I don't believe. It came out as a Kevin's least favorite format, coming out just bam all at once.
Oh, it came out in a trade paperback.
It's my absolute favorite. Absolute favorite.
And if you were on social media, it was one of the books I took a picture of in that big stack of books I bought. I actually bought a lot of crap at that show.
You got the free stuff?
Well, when I bought a bunch from Bob Fingerman, he actually threw his novel in for free.
Nice.
Which I read. It was good. I mean, it was a bending. Didn't it set fine. Felt like a bit of a wah-wah ending. And I kind of was hoping for something more meaningful, but I guess that goes against Fingerman's kind of style. But the book I'm talking about is Ben Passmore's Black Arms to Hold You Up, A History of Black Resistance from Pantheon Graphic Library. Whoa, let me tell you, boys, I really like this book. First of all, I like when comic books talk about real things sometimes. Not all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, history stuff is cool. Second of all, black and white with red, genius kind of visual presentation. He also mixes, and like gray tones and everything too. So, but he has just the right amount of humor mixed in, because it's a pretty dark subject, as you can imagine. In the United States of America, there's been some bad times and continue to be. But I thought his style, like, just like I said, the right touches everywhere and sort of how he jumps around really worked for me. The other thing I loved, I liked it so much, in the back there's a bibliography that probably has, I don't know, literally 100 books or so. I've already read 3, and these are real actual books, mostly academic type, probably university press books. I've already read 3 of the books out of the bibliography. That's how much I enjoyed this thing. It just, like I said, when you're dealing with such a dark topic, I felt his handling of it was just, I don't know, perfect. And got me interested, taught me enough about these subjects. I'm like, oh, I want to read about all this stuff. Like, all the little vignettes are like, it's a page or two in the graphic novel. Well, there's a whole book that he cites to that backs that up and everything. Yeah, big recommend. And it's oversized too, really huge book. And he drew a little remark in it, a little gun in the inside. Yeah.
I believe it was on those lists for end of year lists for 2025.
It was good. I was very impressed. Like I said, it tickled all my buttons. I know, Kevin, it's not Michael DeForge or some Canadian person, so you're not going to read it, but...
It's not about the oil sands?
Yeah, but if you read non-Canadian comic book people...
Ooh, I would say, Canada.
Watch, he turns out to be Canadian or something. I don't know anything. Like, I'm not familiar with his other work. I just, yeah, he was at a table and I just go around and I buy cool stuff that I think looks neat. And so he signed it and did all that stuff. But I was like, yeah, this, I liked it. This is well, piqued my interest, want me to learn, got me want to learn more. Did not dark, but not too, didn't kind of dwell in it and get lost in it. But yeah, powerful moments. It just can't recommend. And normally I don't like, you know, books that are on lists and everything, but this one I agree with. My book of 2026, even though I
can came people out get it.
Yeah. Because this is on all those lists and everything. It's a It's one of those ones that's. It's not like the one I sent you, Phil, which was that the person who listened to the person tell them about that Malibu comic or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm not sure
you can get on Amazon or whatever.
I enjoyed that a lot, by the way.
But this is, that was, I bought this at the same place. But no, this is a big, like it's on Amazon and all them.
Yeah.
Proper book. Like you'd see this in a bookstore, I bet, without too much possible. I wanted to get that out. It's just nice when you read something. Like I said, it gets you so excited, you're off. I went to the library and requested all these old, because it's funny, a lot of them from the 60s and 70s and stuff. And it's just neat to read about history in a real in-depth way.
Yeah, would you believe that it's been published by Koyama Press and Silver Sprocket?
That particular book or Ben Passmore?
No, Ben Passmore.
Oh, I could see. Well, I mean, I think Silver Sprocket, I think that's my, might have been whose table he was at or something. Oh, you know what I mean? There. So, yeah, thumbs up all the way. If I see more, I will definitely get it from that guy. So what? Are there other titles they list for him, Kevin?
Your Black Friend. Day look. Gloat or Day Glory? Glory Hole? I think I have an issue of that, actually.
Yeah, I'll have to check out more of his stuff. This was
Sports is Hell.
Nice. And yeah. But I also tend to just buy, I mean, with Bob Fingerman, I bought a bunch of stuff, but most of the time I'll just get one, you know, I'm off. I don't do a fill. Maybe I'll love it, but I've bought plenty of stuff where I'm like, it was all right. So I don't want to buy everything everyone ever put out type of thing.
I used to do that.
How did Phil? Baller move. buy everything.
He would buy everything from a publisher.
I've just had moments where I do that. I do that like a couple times a year. Most.
That's a lot, Phil. Yeah, you guys got anything else you want to add? We'll try and get Super Steve on the horn shortly. Look how I did that, Kevin. Wow. Just like Steve does.
Wow. I mean, you might want to go check out Tagris Island.
Is that where Steve is?
Oh, is that good?
It is good. I mean, maybe if you, well, the thing is that they have the funny thing is they had I don't know how you guys. Oh, and Andrew totally messed up the intro because he was supposed to give a controversial moment, and now thinking about the variant covers to this issue reminded me of my controversial moment I was going to use, but then Andrew never set me up for it. He totally forgot the fair intro chance this, to his this, own show.
This is never coming out, so we need to get right to it.
But
Tigris Island.
It's funny that they had like nude variant covers, but this book in itself doesn't have any nudity. So, I mean, depends how you feel about, like, that could be a controversial statement. Like, if you're gonna have variant covers like that, you should have nudity in the comic.
I like the artwork.
Oh yeah, the artwork.
With FK or EPHK or however you say it.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a way to say that, or you just say EPHK. I'm not really sure. And then it's also written by Patrick Kinlon. Is that how you say that?
I would say Kinlan, but I don't know that that's correct. I mean, I will say I generally, the only thing is I do actually like pupils.
Oh.
But yeah. I love the rest of the art. Like, I like the figure design and the composition, but I, otherwise they look like not human.
I mean, it is a certain cartoony style. I mean, if you're looking for realism, this isn't what you're going to enjoy.
No, but I feel the pupils add a bunch. I mean, I know,
yeah.
Look, it's a Little Orphan Annie never had pupils, and that did pretty well, so I get it. It's just I feel like that adds something to a face.
You know, it's funny that I thought of, not that the story is exactly the same story, but I was thinking of Frank Cho's, like, Fight Girls.
Yep.
And I'm like, there will be some fighting in here, but it's like an entirely different circumstance with call girls, and then they end up on an island, and then they all have different personalities. So like one of them will be less intelligent than the others and not being able to figure out what exactly is going on. And then you have you know, some of them don't take well to the circumstances.
And it's just the first issue out currently, Kevin?
Yeah, this is the funny thing. I read it for an episode 3 issues ago.
Oh, wow. Oh, so it's really out.
Yeah.
So it's almost done. 5 issues, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so Phil, you can get the collected edition soon.
Yep. I'll probably, because I was eyeing that one. Just because as a horror fan, there's certain aspects of it, you know?
Yeah, because it has that, what is it? Like that 70s exploitation vibe going on with it, so. I mean, I'm sure I read some other stuff. I think I read some, like, indie singles and everything. But, you know, sometimes you read some TCAF books, and you're like, that's a fine story, like a knight ends up like saving a village or something, and they're like some part of some galactic group, like a Green Lantern Corps. But I'm like, I don't know if I have much to say about it other than, and you know, that was all right. So.
All right. That sounds good. All right. Let's see if we can try and lure Super Steve on, although it might cause, I know he and Phil are feuding, so we might lose Phil.
All right, I got a book to tell you about.
Hello, Super Steve.
All right, for the show, for the real.
Oh, Super Steve is here. I guess since Phil left.
Phil.
Oh yeah, Steve, you would have been proud. I really tried to set up one of your classic, like, we'll get Steve on the horn, but Phil may have to go away. Things that you do so well. I did it pretty poorly.
I only came on because you told me Phil was going to be here. What a bait and switch. Anyway, I have, I'm here talking yet again about Titan's Conan book, Conan the Barbarian. There was a three issue arc, 26, 27, and 28. They do a retelling of how Conan gained the crown of Aquilonia. And now we get Jim Zub and Fernando Dagnino's version. And what's cool is the only Robert E. Howard details of how Conan became king are like piecemeal mentions in Phoenix on the Sword. And the Scarlet Citadel is two big King Conan stories. And the unfinished REH manuscript, Wolves on the Border, was telling the story of how he became king. Like, that was next, right? That was on his drawing board, so to speak. And L. Sprague de Camp finished Wolves on the Border, and it was published in 1979. As a prose book, Conan the Liberator. And that was my first Conan novel. So I love this story. And it was adapted in Savage Sword of Conan 49 to 52.
which are like my favorite issues of Savage Sword of Conan. I have it in the original issues. I have it in the black and white phone book versions, you know, and in the hardcover omnibuses as well. And here, the kind of new angle is the story is taken directly from Robert E. Howard's Wolves on the Border material. But because of that, it kind of reads like an unfinished manuscript.
Huh.
They're like huge swaths of events that are just mentioned sparsely in like double page montage sequences. But it does tell the tale. And in only three 22-page issues versus four full-length Savage Sword of Conan magazines like back in the day. So if it's going to be shortened, you're going to have to shorten the story some places. But it's just such a great story. It's fun to see it being retold. As soon as I realized what they were doing, I was like, ooh, that's fun. And just like in the other issues, there are essays in the back by Jeffrey Shanks, this time on Zingara, on Aquilonia, and on Conan becoming king, that history in publishing. And those essays always nicely round out the issues. So cool stuff, 26 to 28.
I'm just reading the Savage Sword still, Steve.
Yeah.
I feel like you're trying to win me over to the regular little one.
I think you're probably reading the best one.
I've had problems with some of the plot threads and things, but there's been also been some gems and some. Even this has its issues, but it's still telling a story that's near and dear and fun that they were telling it again and gave me an opportunity to think about the other versions. That again was one of the first, not just Conan books I read, but one of the first, you know, big boy books, you know, that I read back in the day. I was like 10, you know, so pretty fun.
I'm always of a mixed mind of those Bound. I was a big Philip K. Dick guy. And then after he died, like every half story and three quarter, like all the stuff that didn't get published in his lifetime got published because he, you know, was,
yeah,
especially after Blade Runner and all that. And I read it all, but none of it was like the top, you know, you got the feeling that why it didn't get published, or at least not in that format. Like it would have maybe if he'd lived and worked it over and everything, but it's always, I mean, I'm a sucker and I do go buy all that stuff, but you're always at the end like, yeah, I can see maybe this wasn't the, it was a reason this didn't make it while he was around.
The fun thing about Conan, though, I think as a character, as far as other writers doing their bit on him, is the way that Robert E. Howard wrote the stories out of sequence so that he created a, you know, fictional timeline of this character's history. So we got bits and chunks, and then it's like, you know, filling in the pieces in between where there might have just been some sentences, you know, because then there was that letter of those fans back in the day where they tried to make a timeline of Conan's adventures from what Robert E. Howard had already written, and they sent it to him, and he was kind of like, yeah, actually, you're spot on, and here's a couple other things that might help you put, you know, make the connections or whatever, and that's kind of what we have as the you know, the Numidian Chronicles, if you will, in getting a sense of his life. But then, because there's this unfinished stuff, sort of the in-between stuff, it's kind of fun to flesh out those in-between moments, whether it was L. Sprague de Camp doing it in prose, or Roy Thomas, I think, really wonderfully did it in the comics, filling in those spaces in between the stories. And this is where this Robert E. Howard story took place, and this is where the next one takes place, and now we're going to get you from point A to point B in between. He had to have been traveling east to get over there, and what's in on the map of the Hyborian Age if he's traveling east from point A to point B, and what adventures happened along the way. It's just so fun I just love fictional history stuff, whether it's, you know, Tolkien, or you know, the back of those Tolkien books where he goes into just those timelines of things that happened you know, decades and decades after the stories he wrote and stuff. It's just, I just find that stuff so fun. I love false histories like that.
I couldn't get through the Silmarillion, Steve. I tapped out. I like the worlds and stuff, but some of that felt like it just wasn't, I don't know. I need the characters in it as well, I guess, more than just this event to that. But Conan works because he's also a pulp hero. So you can just throw him into a sort of turnkey adventure and you know how he's going to react and it's a fun world. And then on to the next one, you know, it's not like,
yeah,
he's, and if you want to have a develop, you make him as a young thief or as a whatever stage you want, but you don't really need to worry about the, or he goes to school or job history and things like that in the same sort of way a more modern character might need.
Well, he's a wanderer. It's built right into his, you know what I mean? The basis of his character. It works for Gru too, right? You're wandering around. It doesn't matter where home base is. You don't need a home base. You wander. Great stuff. I love Conan.
Ever read the humor stuff Howard wrote?
No.
It's a little dated, but it's interesting. I would recommend, like, about the different, I think one's a sailor guy and he's always getting into fights in town and everything. It has it, like, it's not, I'm not gonna say it's not dated, but it has its charms. I found it to be somewhat, I mean, obviously Conan is the star, although for me, you know, I always love Solomon Kane, so those sort of adventure heroes are good, but it's interesting to read him applying his trade and his trademarks, but in a different style.
Sure.
All right, Kevin, I think you said you had a book for us.
Oh, yes. I have a book from one of your favorite indie comic book shared universes.
This has got to be Kate Beat.
Okay. What's You're the Kate Beaton shared universe?
The Hark a Vagrant universe crosses over with
with the life and the tar sands.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
You got to keep our Canadian content up, Kevin.
No, what I have is G.I. Joe, Cobra Enemy, A Real American Hero, Silent Missions, Crimson Guard. Boy, that's a mouthful.
Ooh, I have this issue, have not read it, so tell me all about it. I know it's Gabriel Hardman, so.
Yeah, the whole reason I bought it, I mean. But
what? Not because of it's from Robert Kirkman's imprint of Image?
Well, I would say Kirkman's like a distant third, I guess, because there's another reason. Like, I remember seeing this guy in those, you know, they would do, I guess they were, what are they called, strike files? You know, where they would do the profiles?
Yep.
And I remember seeing this guy because I didn't have many like G.I. Joe comics or watch much G.I. Joe, in fact. But I remember, you know, there's something about, you know, handbook entries and stuff like that. So when I saw this Crimson Guard guy, I'm like, oh, this guy looks kind of cool. So I remember making a ripoff of this guy called Crimson Guard. So while I know nothing about this guy, I figured I have some kind of attachment to this guy anyways. Even if it's a made-up history.
Hey, I'm not going to call Hasbro to sick their copyright lawyers on you, Kevin, so go for it.
So, yeah, I mean, this shows you, well, I mean, it's a pretty good cover showing you what's going to be here. Like, he's guarding Cobra Commander. And it's one of those day in the life of being, you know, with Cobra.
Yeah, for those unaware, the Crimson Guard are the Cobra, the bad guys, and they have different ranks of soldiers. And the Crimson Guard are kind of the elite inner circle guard. And originally the gag was they were soldiers at night, and during the day they were all like lawyers and accountants and super hard professionals who would destroy you with bureaucracy and paperwork, and then at night shoot you. And they have those snappy red uniforms.
Yeah.
A striking figure design, I always thought, too. I know I have always liked the bright red and the kind of fake military design and everything.
I had a question, though. Not that it impacts the story really that much, but does Scarlet or G.I. Joe know what Cobra Commander's face looks like?
No. I mean, they didn't used to.
Okay. I mean, it's not super relevant, but I was just... It's funny, because, like, this opens on Cobra Commander. Like, they're inside some kind of, I don't know, temple or fortress or whatever in this Rocky Mountain type of base. I mean, it might have been a playset for all I know. And he's putting this helmet on one of the... Crimson Guards. I keep on wanting to say Crimson Guard now. Jeez. Every time I'm going to say the word, I always pause. I'm like, yes, it's Crimson Guard.
Maybe I do need to call Hasbro's lawyers.
Yeah, he's putting the helmet on this dude that maybe this is his first time. This is his initiation ceremony. Could be. Who knows? But anyways, the place starts rocking and rolling and vibrating. And then you get a two-page spread in Yojo. The Joes are here to attack the base. And then it's like, you know, things go on. The guard is trying to keep Cobra Commander safe through all these complications and everything. It reminded me a lot of, too, of that Eisner, probably award-winning. Remember there was that story about that thug that was working for the Kingpin? I think it was a Rucka Rizzo issue. Like reminiscent of stuff like that.
There was one with the Joker like that, one of the Joker's henchmen. Yeah. His perspective and how hard it is working for a crazy guy like that.
I have this issue too, Kevin, and I loved it. I think Hardman did great. And what's so cool is like it's not just, as you said, his a day in the life, but it's his first day on the job. It's like, welcome to Cobra, you know? There's so much action and intensity. It's a great ish.
I know. And you know how sometimes I would complain about, oh, you can't follow the action or you don't know what's happening. This is a silent issue, obviously. I mean, in tribute to the classic silent issue that has had hundreds of tributes at this point. But you can tell exactly what's going on all the time. So
this is Hardman's forte, right? He is storyboarder.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is great. Yeah, totally enjoyed it. I mean, even you could run your stopwatch if you wanted, but it's not necessary. Like, you're in on the gimmick if you're reading these anyways. So. Yeah,
if you went too fast, that's on you. Because there's a lot to look at here. This is a beautifully drawn issue. There's a lot. And the darkness and the elements that are kind of going on force you to sort of pay more attention. You can't sort of breeze through or you won't know what's going on, I think. I think you sort of have to look.
Stuff there, but yeah, you got to follow those details.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to get to it because he doesn't do as many comics as he used to. I imagine he really puts a lot into them, you know, because it's not like he's grinding out a title and a half a month or whatever.
I'm not a regular G.I. Joe guy. I was when I was 12, but not anymore as far as the comics, thinking they're that great, although I have been reading those Moynihan drawn and Pelletier. Paul Pelletier is someone a little bit friendly with sort of remotely. But, you know, that stuff is drawn great, so I follow along. And when they did the silent missions for the heroes, I read them, but they were... I don't know if they really caught my fancy that much, at least in comparison to this run. These five issues that they put out of the bad guys getting their silent issues were fantastic. All five of them I really, really liked. This Hardman one, they did a Firefly one that was George Fornes written and drawn. They did a Copperhead one that was Howard Porter written and drawn one. They did a Zartan one that was Pat Olaf drawn with Tom DeFalco writing, so it's like the old Untold Tales of Spider-Man team. That one was really good. And then there was one that Declan Shalvey wrote and Joel Jones drew and for the Baroness. I mean, these were great issues. I really can't say enough about them. I really, really enjoyed them.
And I like how they have the different sketches for the covers, and then they have some of his layouts for the pages in back here too. That's always nice.
Yeah, really, really nice. This was a great issue.
Yeah, I've got a bunch, but I haven't had time to dip into them, so I'm excited. I'm not sure how they're collecting that stuff, because I don't think I told Super Steve, but I told the other boys I'm went in on the hardcovers for this all this Skybound stuff, because they're oversized.
Yeah,
I'm still getting the floppies because I'm a fool, but I did start getting on the hardcovers because I like the oversized and the extras and all that. So we'll see. Stay tuned, true believers. We'll see if Andy keeps double dipping or eventually can find his way to moving off of floppies for these.
Well, they did a trade paperback, I think, of the Hero Silent issues, but now that they have 10 issues, maybe they can
do them both.
Put those out into a hardcover.
Make it an annual thing, because I think they did it last year too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they're just kind of weirdly behind. Three of the titles are in one continuity, and then these special missions are, I think, in the A Real American Hero continuity, which is just one comic. So I thought they might have put it in that line. It would seem to be a natural fit, but I don't know. There's so I think just the first hardcover for that G.I. Joe A Real American Hero one just came out. That's the only one I have. And so they're pretty far behind, because they're on 27 or 28 issue by now. So I don't know what the plan is. I mean, I can't imagine they don't have some plan to maximize, because I looked at the trades, but I was like, well, the hardcovers do have extra stuff and they're oversized and Andy's a fool and blah, blah, blah.
They'll be able to do an omnibus and a compendium.
Not so, as I've told you guys, the really thick books are not as enjoyable for me to read. So the presentation is not the, I mean, it's kind of fun when they came out in the original, like, oh, I'm buying so many comics at once, but I found practically they're not as, the aesthetic experience isn't as much fun.
I like them when they're big.
That's why I was like, you know, Masterworks, I was like, oh, this is the ideal thing. It's a hardcover. I mean, it's not some flimsy trade. It's not a big omnibus. That's why I can see, like, you liking the deluxe hardcovers the best. The perfect in between.
Well, so that, you know, make it a little bit bigger, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just enough to tease me. You know I'm going to do that. I rebought all the stupid Pat Mills Nemesis Warlock because it was in a bigger format. And the Freak Brothers. The Freak Brothers had new stuff and was a nice presentation, and that was totally worth upgrading.
Agreed.
Like, there's more in those than there are in the other omnibus, quote unquote.
Hey, if I can see.
I've got a book.
Oh, cool.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go for it.
All right. I mentioned another book I picked up at that Comic Arts LA. Here's another one. Saw this, thought of Kevin. Cosmic Cat.
Yeah.
The Death, Rebirth, Now in Color. And it was like a digital comic. And it was done as each page is like a story with mostly 8 panels. Told, and I think it was told online, so he collected these over the years. And then at one point he becomes Barbarian Cat. He goes back in time. So just a fun, like I said, collected digital comic done as single page. Each one is a story. So it's like Prague number 20, Prague 21, Prague 20. And like I said, they're not always 8. But they're almost, you know, they're that format. But sometimes he'll push 2 panels into one type of thing. And it's this crazy space cat that's super violent off on adventures. And I love the pinup gallery in the back that he got all these other people did. And so there's a Christmas comic one. And what if Cosmic Cat was a dog? But it's just fun because it's a lot of, in the pinup gallery, it's a lot of places I'm not familiar with. This is Rick Lopez, is the guy that does Cosmic Cat. So it's kind of nice to see all these. I mean, I'm sure they're people Kevin hangs out with, but they're not people I'm familiar with. all the people, but it's great to get all these crazy pinups of this guy's character. And when he's in space, he has a space helmet, like a classic 50s space helmet on, and like a ray gun, and a jetpack. And then when he's a barbarian, it's a big sword. And yeah, so just, I think, done as an adventure strip, very silly, quick stream of consciousness. I'll see if I can find a link to it so I can put it in whatever show notes, wherever this ends up. But yeah, I want, like I said, if I could find a way to smuggle this to you in Canada, Kevin, I think you'd get a kick out of Cosmic Cat.
Yeah, it sounds like up my alley there.
But it's a Next Panel Press is the website, or his blog, or however. I wasn't familiar with it. I just saw the book and bought it. But you know, you get when you look at it, you're like, oh, clearly this was printed in a different form at some point, and this is the collection of it. But I did like I said, the pinups are really great. Really great when someone has their character and they find other people to interpret it. I love that. Especially when it's an indie character, you know what I mean? There's something so cool about, it's like this one dude's thing, and then a bunch of other people get to riff on it. I mean, I like riffs on Spider-Man and junk too, but it's something when it's some guy's thing, you know?
Nice. Wanted to mention Red Sonja since I mentioned Conan. Thought that would be fun, stay primitive and everything, but I'm not reading any of the Red Sonja garbage they're putting out from Dynamite there. So even when they get a decent writer, I look and it's like, this is so, you know, they pay for the good covers. If they just did one cover instead of five covers, maybe they could afford decent art inside, but this is terrible.
That's one of the biggest knocks ever.
But
so, I mean, I'm not disagreeing. But yeah.
So instead, I read Babs from Ahoy Comics. Was a, I think, 6, maybe 7 issue limited series, but it is collected in a trade paperback, and they are currently a few issues into a second limited series that I think is going to be 6 issues. And it's written by Garth Ennis with art by Jason Burroughs. So you know you're going to have fun, right? It's going to be silly, over the top, like Get Fury kind of pacing and action, and but done in a sword and sorcery, sandals and, you know, sorcery type of format. So we've got this Red Sonja type Babs, and there is this side crew of kind of castaway, sort of quasi monstrous dudes, like, you know, like hobbit types, non-human. It's Mork the Orc and his bunch of guys, and they are like a chorus in this limited series where you kind of keep coming back to them, although they and their interpretation of what's going on, although their story ends up crossing with Babs, but they kind of collect info on things around them and like rate it in like these rating systems, like kind of how we might do with pop culture. And they kind of judging people's heroic feats and writing them down and keeping track of all these things. There's all these different funny visual gag, stupid ones, but they make you laugh when you're reading them, like Ennis will throw in. Like at one point, she's interrogating this guy, and to threaten him, she sticks an arrow up his nose, right? Not like up through his skull, or just like in his nose, like, I could put this higher and like really hurt you, right? And she gets distracted for a minute, and he turns and runs away to get away from her, but trips and falls down and, you know, hits the arrow up through his skull and ends up dying. And she's like, I wasn't going to kill him, that kind of thing. Stupid little things happen. It's a dangerous world. It's an unpredictable, dangerous environment in those times. So it lends itself to comedic moments, whether it's because of some creature or some spell or some old time weaponry crossing your path at the worst moment. The elves are portrayed as these like pompous, mandolin playing, sex starved, narcissistic types, which is just really funny. It's like everything you ever thought about elves just jacked up into this Garth Ennis version, she's got a talking sword, right? But it talks. Mm. It has a mouth on it, actually, so it can create some, get an idea of its emotions and how expressiveness. It even gets seasick and like can throw up even though it has no stomach, which makes no sense, but it's still funny. And the whole idea is like she's on a rescue quest to rescue a friend who was forced into like slavery, and she's working in a mine. And of course, Babs ends up there too, and hilarity ensues and all that. But it's a really fun series with a limited number of characters, so it's easy to pick up what's going on and follow along. It was easy to put it down after each month, and it was often more than a month between issues, and pick back up and kind of get right back into the gist of what's going on. But it's really good in a collection. So to sit down and blast through this adventure and step into this world and the dialogue and the sensibility of it is a lot of fun, like a lot of Ennis's tongue-in-cheek books can be.
I think I last saw Jason Burroughs on the Alan Moore Providence, the Lovecraft.
Right.
Homage or whatever that I really enjoyed from Avatar. Our friends at Avatar, I think they're done though. I don't know. I haven't seen Avatar books in a while.
You can buy them bound books instead, right?
Are they the same company? I don't know.
I don't know.
I just know they were around and then they had crossed and all that Alan Moore stuff, and then I didn't see him around much anymore.
Yeah, they used to have those huge, huge, massive sales. Like, they must have just had overprinted so many titles and then just had it in a warehouse for their annual sales every year. I don't know.
I think those two companies needed their presence in previews for their sales. You know, yeah, when previews disappeared, so did they. You know what I mean? It's like they used to cover a lot of real estate. They used to pay a lot of money for a lot of ad space in those magazines.
Yeah, that's why with the whole previews going away, it's like not necessarily that places like went out of business. They just disappeared.
Yeah. Now all you people have to live like I do in complete ignorance and darkness, not knowing what's happening from week to week.
Buying issue number ones that you already have and all that stuff.
Exactly. You may have adopted the darkness, but I was born in it.
Classic Andrew.
Reveling in my ignorance. I got lots of books. I went and bought I haven't got to it yet, but I did get the girl who handcuffed Cthulhu or whatever.
Oh, cool.
In hardcover, Steve.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I was buying a lot of those floppies, but they're so nice. It's such a nice presentation to get it in hardcover.
Good background like material in the back, too. We'll have it all collected there if it's anything like the Houdini one that I have in a hardcover.
Yeah. Just I like finding some fun, unique. I know I'm still buying floppies and stuff, but there is something about a nice collected edition that, when they put all those extras in and everything, that I don't know. In my old age, as I'm growing senile, there's something more appealing about that.
To that point, eventually, when at the end of presenting this book, do you mind if I jump in and give you one more book?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Even though I just went, so to speak. Don't tell me I don't do it. I just did it, and I'm ready to do it again. did you guys read the Skinbreaker book from Image and Skybound?
No.
I remember the covers. Weren't they, like, very evocative with, like, the poking through the skin?
No.
Is that the one?
No,
with, like,
no.
The fingernails and all that?
No, this is Robert Kirkman and David Finch with an 8-issue limited series that just ended. And it's about to be, this month it's actually solicited in whatever version of previews there still is, your Penguin or your Random House or your Lunar or whatever the heck it is. But they are collecting it in two oversized, closer to Treasury-sized hardcovers, one black and white and one in color, because there's so much line work to be appreciated here. And I think I might get both of them. I really, really liked this series. And I think it's one of these evergreen type books. That's like one of the best books. That's not a book with characters that you've ever heard of before to come out in the last few years. It's pretty neat. Kirkman and Finch had been working on this. It's creator owned, obviously, being Image and Skybound. They've been working on it for the last 8 years in between doing other projects. So they waited until all of the art was done before they decided to publish it. So we're only.
Well, that's not very Image Comics, Steve.
Yeah, but it gave us, because this wouldn't have worked if there were long delays as much. The story, they got to tell their story and keep the pace up. And it's an original story.
There's precious few stories that work over 8 years.
Yeah, right.
They say that.
It's an alien tribe living in a lush, and I mean lush, alien world. The flora, the fauna. Did I mention the flora? It's this place is, it's really cool. And you get into the unique culture of this tribe, their rituals, their power hierarchy. And we get to see the ritual of like the tribal successor of like the next like leader of the chief and how it all happens. And then we jump to the future where the guy who we saw become the tribal chief is now in his later years. So we already know what he's expecting and what the tribe is expecting, because we saw it happen to the other guy before him. And now we know it's kind of going to be his turn. But the tribe is, there's this overarching moral of the story, so to speak, where you're wrestling with, as the tribe is wrestling with, modernization and efficiency in their hunter-gatherer lifestyle, right? Like how, like, is it just, do you stick with the old ways, the brutal ways, or do you make things, you know, more efficient and modernize, but have to change, which is always hard, right? And we see the power struggle that's percolating along those lines. And Finch's art, again, is, and his designs, they're so detailed and intricate. The colors are great. The story is so easy to get into. Again, they follow my rule for creator-owned books. They keep the characters limited in number and well-develop them and put them right into situations immediately. So there's no downtime in this book. There's no slow part. And any scenes where people are just standing around talking are so lushly, you know, it's like looking at a Sergio Aragonés marketplace double spread in a GRU, but drawn with hyper realism, you know, of a David Finch. It's such a good book. And what they did, Andrew, is they released them in regular comic sized issues, but they also each month released them in treasury sized comic books each month. And so to collect them and keep that treasury sized fun feeling, they're doing them in these oversized collected editions, one black and white and one in color. So I just think it's really cool, and a really cool project from how it was crafted over that time where they nursed it and they waited until they could put it out to what the actual material is to how they're collecting it. I just think this is a really cool, good comic booking, as we say in the podcasting industry.
Well, Finch is also a guy you could blow up his art and
for sure
still find lots of stuff to get lost in, type of thing.
Like the bark of a tree. It's like taking acid where you'll just be like stuck looking at like the bark on a tree for a while. You know? Who does that?
I don't know, Steve.
People on acid do that, Andrew.
I hadn't thought about Finch in a while. Is he still killing it at DC? Mm-hmm. Is that his bread and butter?
He's working on the next project with Kirkman, because they're like, that this was so fun, and now that we're finally putting it out, it's not right after doing the work on it, so we kind of want to like do something else together. It's been a while, even though they're getting the accolades for their, you know, because this is old work. So they've got another project brewing.
Well, why not? 8 years will fly by in no time. Okay, yeah. The book I'm thinking of is Nailbiter.
Oh,
that's right. The one when everyone talks about like horror and image and everything. They had those really evocative covers. Sorry, yeah. I took a minute to like, we're like, that's the one where I was like, oh, that's the comic that I, when you said Skinbreaker,
yeah.
I immediately, because I was like, I never read that book, but man, those covers were like stuck in my brain. I mean, they should have maybe worked in something with the title better, whatever, because that didn't stick in my brain, but still, you know, fun. But obviously a much different vibe than what you were describing.
Yeah. And like usually like the whole thing of like all these characters are like some alien thing. Like I don't want to have to learn their culture and what's going on. But it's presented all in a really nice way. You know, like I'm not an Avatar guy. Like I don't want to even take that ride. I just not really interested as far as the entertainment value it'll bring me, because it's like I don't want to get into that, all that. This was really done in a great way where you just take the ride and it's you'll find something you like for sure here if you like comics.
Yeah, because isn't Finch like a Batman guy or something?
Yeah.
What's that? Didn't he draw a bunch of Batman comics?
He did.
Yeah. Kevin laughing at me.
For Tom King.
I just find it funny. You think Finch, oh yeah, he's a Batman guy. I'm like, okay.
And New Avengers. I guess you could say that. The New Avengers with Bendis, and he did Moon Knight with that writer who disparaged Moon Knight.
oh brother.
There was some good visuals. He did a couple of good pinups covers.
Yeah, there's some visuals there.
All right, Kevin, you got anything for us? Or should we call this an episode?
I just remembered we didn't tell Phil that Comixology died again while we were pod faded.
Again? Are you sure it doesn't just smell funny? Poke it.
It came back as a zombie, and then, you know.
Well, let's be honest, Kevin, between the three of us, how many digital comic platforms have we seen come and go, you know?
So many.
Is Scribd still a thing? Is that still around?
I don't know, but I remember years and years ago, they got rid of their comics.
The new heavy
that
metal.
That was where I first saw some day and date IDW comics.
Heavy Metal now is doing a digital subscription, as well as you can do a regular subscription or do the Kickstarter for each issue or whatever, however the heck they're doing it. But it's so massive and expensive, those Heavy Metals. But the digital subscription, I don't know what it is for. I can't remember what it was for a year. It wasn't too bad because I did it. But you get the email when a new issue comes out and you have to read it on their site. Basically, so you don't get a PDF, but you get access to all of the other ones. So like if you say I think they're on like issue 5 now, maybe, or something like that, or 6 maybe. But, you know, if you were to jump in at issue 10, you would be getting all 10 previous issues plus the next 4 or 5 issues or whatever that come out in a year. So I was like, for $20 or something, I was like, that's not a bad deal. I'm getting to read all 6 issues that have come out already, plus the next couple. I'm like, that seems... I just set myself a reminder for when it renews to be able to remind myself to redecide whether it's still worth it. But I was like, ah, that's cool. And I just got an email while we're recording that like, oh, the new issue came out, I got access to. That's kind of cool. But as far as digital platform, that'll be one that I'll be using a little this year. Those issues are giant. I think there's going to be...
Yeah, because it only comes out like quarterly.
Yeah.
It's weird that there's 2 Heavy Metals going on at the same time.
With the Hurlant stuff?
Yeah. But only one's on the newsstand as far as I know.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Metal Hurlant, but you might get a different newsstand than we do, Kevin, being
up in Canada. No, because I think the other ones are just graphic novels.
United Kingdom? So, I mean, you pay, isn't that all the people on your money and everything? So
the what?
I thought you, the United Kingdom, aren't you part of that with the on your money and everything?
God save the Queen.
We're not part of the United Kingdom.
Yeah, well, it used to
the
be
the British Commonwealth?
Yeah, same thing.
Same thing. Okay.
For those of us that left a couple hundred years ago, it's the same thing. For once, I can team up on the Canadian. I'm not, normally I'm outnumbered, Super Steve.
Yeah, no kings, Andrew. Yeah. No kings, right? Yeah.
This is a weird time to bring this up, but okay.
It's like the closings write themselves around here.
Anyways, go on, Kevin.
On what?
Oh, I thought I interrupted you.
No, I don't have anything else to say. This is a great ending to the episode.
Yeah, it's nice sometimes. Sometimes you gotta end it with a whimper confusion. Instead of a bang.
A little confusion. As we wander back to our corners to get, the cut man to do their work on us.
Cut man?
I like a boxing match. Go to your corner. You get the cut guy to put that stuff on you that might make you stop bleeding. It stings for a minute, so you got to wince,
No, my mind went to Mega Man. So, I'm like, you could use guts, man. Probably a translation issue. I don't know. It just seems like a weird guy. I mean, I guess he was Rockman, so, that was always confusing.
All right, I think that's a pretty good episode.
Oh, I thought you were just going to let me riff on Mega Man for the next half hour.
I'm not sure, as I know, to where this is going to end up, but, hey, it'll end up somewhere, and hopefully you'll find us if we don't find you.
On YouTube. No.
Oh, Super Steve with the Super YouTube.
Later.